When I was a student at Sydney University, we were able to do a couple of extra courses that weren't part of the economics faculty. And so I went over into the old sandstone building to do a subject in the Department of Semitics, which was in biblical studies, strangely enough. And my teacher in the second year was this beautiful rabbi, a really orthodox Jewish teacher who loved the Word of God with great reverence. And part of the reason that we loved him was that because he was orthodox, he would keep the holidays, and so he wouldn't teach on certain parts of the year, and so we'd get the week off, which is always a good thing for a uni student. But one of the things that he highlighted was our first reading today. And he taught with such depth the power of this passage. A passage that is understood not just in biblical literature, but indeed in world literature, as one of the finest examples of a short story. In just these 19 verses, the storyteller is able to compile this deep and profound, beautiful and harrowing account of this time of testing. It begins that some time has passed. In chapter 21, we're told of the birth of Isaac. So we don't know how old Isaac is when all of this unfolds. But as we'll see a little bit later, he's clearly old enough to carry the wood of the sacrifice. So he's not just a little kid, he's grown into a young teenager, if not a young adult. And we're told that Abraham hears this voice from the Lord. Abraham, take your son, your only son, just in case he doesn't know which son it is, the son whom you love, Isaac, and take him to a mountain that I will show you and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering to me. I mean, oh my gosh. Abraham and Sarah have waited years to finally have the Lord fulfill their dream, their hope, their expectation. He told them when he left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to a land that I will show you, that he will make Abraham the father of a great nation. And Abraham and Sarah are old, aren't they? They believe that they're beyond the capacity and the possibility of bearing a child. And then finally, after 20 years of waiting, the Lord finally blesses them with this son, Isaac. And so Isaac is the joy and the delight of all that they are. And so to be told by the Lord, take Isaac, your son, your only son, the child that you love. Love is an interesting word, isn't it? In fact, this is the first time in the book, in all of Scripture, that this word love occurs. The first time that a word occurs in Scripture, it's always significant. And this is the first time. Not in the story of creation, not in the story of Noah, not in the earlier stories of Abraham and Sarah. This is the first time that we hear this word love. And so it's reminding Abraham and reminding us of just how dreadful and terrible this story is. Unfortunately, the lectionary cuts out some of the story. It's worth going and reading the rest of the story for yourselves. As I said, it's only 19 verses and just takes up half a page in most of our Bibles. So take the time tonight to go back and reread the story yourself in full. And so we're told that the next morning, Abraham sets off. So imagine that first night. He's having this dreadful experience of knowing that he has to be faithful to the Lord, because that's the way that he's made. He wants to be faithful, and so he will be faithful. But then the next morning, having to actually face his son Isaac and to prepare everything that's required, he bundles some wood together, gets two of his lads and a donkey, and puts all of the wood and all of the other instruments necessary to offer the sacrifice, and they head off. But it's not just a short distance. They journey, not just for one day, but they continue to journey. So the first night when they're out camping and there's a campfire and they're sitting around the fire, Imagine that, the stories and the conversation as Isaac and Abraham chew the fat. And there, Isaac again is questioning and perhaps asking, well, what are we doing, Dad? Where are we going? What's all this about? And Abraham wouldn't be able to face this possibility of telling Isaac what all of this was about. Then on the third day, finally, Abraham looks up in the distance, and there he sees this high mountain in the distance. Now, it's clearly too steep to be able to take the donkey up. So the donkey and the two young servants are left there at the foot of the mountain. And then Abraham goes and begins to climb up the mountain with Isaac. And what is Isaac doing? He's carrying the wood of the offering. He's carrying this timber. And so he knows that something is amiss as he asks this question to Abraham, his father. Father, here is the wood and there is the fire for the sacrifice. But where is the offering? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And then we get one of those terribly poignant verses in Scripture, because Abraham turns to his son and he says, my son, God himself will provide the lamb, my son. It's a terrible moment because in some ways he's being absolutely honest to his son Isaac. God himself will provide the lamb, my son. He could be simply addressing him, but he could also be giving the hint about what is about to happen. So finally, they make it to the top of the mountain. And it's then that the Jewish name for this story comes into its own. We're told at this point that Abraham then binds his son Isaac. Now, Abraham, if he was serious, could have just crept up when Isaac wasn't expecting it and taken the knife of the sacrifice, you know, and just plunged it into the neck of Isaac and slaughtered him there and then. But he didn't. He takes the rope and binds him hand and feet. It'd be good if I had a volunteer that we could... Is there somebody else that's good at tying knots? Because I'm useless. Is there a knot tier in the... Well, we'll have to do some... Anyway. No, you're fantastic. So we'll do some various tying of ropes and... If you can tie that around your hands and bind them, just, yeah, very good. So there is Isaac. Now, like our young friend here, he could fight back. Isaac is the one carrying the wood because he's the stronger one. So the person that's carrying the wood would be the one that's more capable of carrying the wood. So Isaac is clearly old enough and strong enough to be able to overpower Abraham if he wants to. But instead, Isaac is there, and he's also just somehow saying, I don't understand what all this is about. I don't understand how this will unfold. But somehow I just allow myself to be bound like that. And then, of course, Isaac would have been laid on the altar, so you might want to lie on the first step. And so there he is, offering himself as a sacrifice. And then we're told that Abraham grabs the knife. And it's there as he's about to thrust this knife into the throat or into the guts of his son, his only son, the son that he loves. That it's only there at that final moment that Abraham hears a voice from the Lord saying, Abraham, do not take the knife to your son. You'll be very pleased to hear that that's the outcome of the story. It's a dreadful story, a terrible story. Thank you. You can go back to your place. Yes. This binding. They call it the binding because, for one thing, the word, which is the word akida, this word, it's the only time that it appears in the whole of Scripture. The only time that this particular word is expressed. And whenever you get this occasion where it's just a single word appearing, it's always, again, this word of significance. It's talking about Abraham, his trust, his faith, his sense of commitment to the Lord. Somehow he must have known that God was greater. Somehow he must have known that even if he did the unthinkable, the thing that we would immediately call docs for and say, come and take away this negligent father, come and lock him up. But instead, Abraham must have believed that even if he killed his son, that the God that he worshipped was the God of life, a God who could have restored his son Isaac back to life. Perhaps he knew that God wouldn't put him finally through to the end, but he was there. He went the whole way. Sometimes perhaps we felt the same. Sometimes perhaps we felt that the Lord has pushed us and tested us and asked us to do things that are just unthinkable. Perhaps it's leaving a community that we love and going to another place. Perhaps it's taking on a new work. Perhaps it's when we lose our job or when a relationship that has been so central to our life that our spouse has died or somehow they've found another person and they've walked out on us. All of these are signs of this life that God invites us into, the life that God wants us to experience. Now, Isaac's question is very profound. What does he ask? Lord, where is the lamb of the sacrifice? And what does Abraham say? God himself will provide the lamb. When the angel of the Lord stayed the hand of Abraham and he didn't allow him to go through with the slaughter of Isaac, what did they see there off in the bushes was what? A ram. Yes, not the lamb. Abraham and Isaac expected the lamb, but instead in the bushes was a ram. And so they come and slaughter the ram. But one of the things that the rabbis said, and one of the things that the fathers of the church said, was that every time after that, we begin to look for the lamb. God promised that he would provide the lamb. Well, where is the lamb of sacrifice? Where is the lamb that will be offered? And all of you, of course, are going, I know where the lamb is. It's Jesus. Jesus is finally the perfect lamb of sacrifice, the lamb that is the fulfillment of all of our hopes and all of our dreams. We are a people of hope, a people of promise. God might ask us the impossible. God might call us to do things that we just can't understand and can't believe he's asking us. But God himself will always provide the lamb. Jesus, we're told in our second reading tonight, that God did not spare his only son, but gave him up, offered him for us all. Jesus is the lamb of sacrifice. Jesus is the one who has taken away our guilt, our shame, our fear. Let's be people who allow that promise of hope to call us, to console us, and to allow us not to cling to the sin that sticks so easily, but to be free and to worship God on his holy mountain.